Greg finally got that song right. But I thought he did a good job the first time. Even though it was a little high, he did a good job. And the song got it right too. For there was none of the Lord included. And at the end, all of the Lord was included. Very good song. Maybe I shouldn't have made an announcement that I was going to be preaching for this evening. We don't have that many people here. And there was a young man that obeyed the gospel this morning, and I've been watching him in class and in service. He's always attentive. Looks like a good, honest heart. And he obeyed the gospel. I was hoping he would come back because I'm probably going to be preaching to the choir today. But these scriptures that you hear, you've heard them before, definitely. But they need to be used. They need to be sought out. And I hope I can present this so it can be understood. I got my idea when I visited Conroe. Went to Conroe a couple of weeks ago to visit my daughter. Never had been to where she worships, so I went. And the preacher was preaching out of Titus. I'm going to get to that chapter 2 at the end of the lesson. But when I heard his lesson, I got to thinking about that some people, as I announced earlier this morning, that some people think that we don't appreciate God's grace. And it seems to them that grace is a deposit box where they put all their spiritual investments. That's what it seems like to me. But they're thinking that we're all about doing. And if you get in a conversation with some of these folks, that's where we'll end up to. They'll accuse you of wanting to do things and that you're not saved by works. And we're going to read some scripture that says you're not saved by works. But let's see if we can find some scriptural reasons for being perceived this way. Are we really off? Or are we missing the mark on the subject of grace? That's what I want to explore. So I'm going to present some scriptures that we're all aware of, very much so. I'm wondering if the grace-only crowd acknowledges these scriptures' existence. But one of them is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We turned there last Sunday morning in our study. And this scripture cannot be disregarded. It's a warning. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Does is that word there. That's an active word, does. And verse 22 is a warning. It said, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Now we got another active word, do. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The do that was in those last two verses is what people want to think that they did. Something that they decided to do. But the one up there in verse 21, but he who does the will of my Father. That's the action we need to be in, is in the will of the Father. Need to be doing those things. That's why we use that verse so often. So, because many people don't do the will of the Father. And then there's Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. And we know the scripture. And Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, the day that the church began. And he says, he gets down here and he says, now they heard this. When they heard this, they were cut to their heart. They told him, you crucified Jesus. And it cut them to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They felt like they needed to do something. And any honest person with a conscience will want to do something because they're guilty. And that's what they said. And Peter answered them in verse 38. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's many conversations that can come from that verse, but the gift is eternal life. Whoever repents and is baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, in the name of Jesus Christ, they will receive eternal life. But they want to take it somewhere else. But that's not what I'm talking about today. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus says, it will be told you what to do. And in this verse, we have Saul going to try to punish the Christians, round them up, take them, put them in prison. And he's been stopped. He's been blinded. He heard some speaking. Other people heard noise, but they didn't hear the words. But Jesus tells him, rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. There's that word again, that active word of do. We have in Acts chapter 22, verses 8 through 10, Paul recalls this encounter with Jesus. And he's telling some other people about it. But verses 8 through 10, it says, and I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And then the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. So Jesus was expecting him to do something. He told Paul, I said, you will be doing something. And then in verse 14 through 16, and there was a man named Ananias, and he came in. God had told him, go to this man. He's appointed. He's a chosen vessel. Do my will. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. That's what he was told to do. Jesus said, go there, you'll be told what to do. Ananias is telling him what to do. And then in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, this is about the Philippian jailer. And he also asked, what must I do to be saved? And this is they brought him out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There it is, right there. And Peter and Silas said, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. A lot of people want to stop with that verse. Believe and you'll be saved. But verse 32 is there, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. So it's been told him what he should do to hear the word. And then in verses 32 through 33, it said, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. So here he is, I want to be saved, what must I do? They talked the word of God to him, explained it to him, and then he was baptized. It's following the pattern of everything we've read so far in the scriptures. Acts chapter 8, verses 34 through 38 is a similar occurrence. And we have here Philip talked to the eunuch the good news about Jesus. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask of you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. I hope that young man today, I hope Mario, went away rejoicing today. He went away hurriedly, but he did have a smile on his face. And I hope he'll be back to be enriched in God's word more and to encourage us. But the eunuch understood what Philip was teaching him, and he wanted to obey. And I just wonder what he was taught. He's the one that brought up, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized. He knew. Hey, my man's here. So glad you're here, Mario. This is why we're a little different. That's why we want to preach God's word. And that's what I'm trying to do today, is preach God's word. So glad you came back. It is an encouragement. So desiring to obey, he asked to be baptized. And this was not something that he did. It was done to him. And we see also in Acts chapter 8, a little earlier up in verses 4 through 8, Philip had went down to Samaria. He had been scattered because of what Saul was doing. He was persecuting Christians. And Philip got on the run, and he's down in Samaria and preaching the word. And he went into the town of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowd with one accord paid attention to what being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Now, notice in verse 6, he was doing signs. They paid attention to what he was doing because God was behind what he was doing. And that's what the signs were for. So the people that heard the message about Jesus, they would know that this is the truth because only God could allow things like this to happen. Listen to this man. God is with this man. So we see things in action. Those action words, do, did. And over in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And we talked about this morning. And note the statements I'm about to share are preached by the words, or preceded by the words, by faith. Verse 4. And I'm just going to read off my list. Brandon will keep up with me and try to keep you going. And I'm not going to read the whole verse. But verse 4, by faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice. Now, we're talking about faithful people. The reason what made them faithful. But I tell you what, before we get away from that, let's look at verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So, we have faith by what we see here. We know that God created this. And we're going on his word. And it says the things that are made out of things that are invisible. God created it from nothing. And we have faith that God did it. And that's what we tell people. We have faith that God created this earth. But these are about faithful people. Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice. Verse 7, Noah constructed an ark to save his family. Abraham obeyed in verse 8 when told to go. Verse 17, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Verse 24, Moses refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, Moses chose to be mistreated as the people of God. Verses 27 through 28, Moses left Egypt. Moses kept the Passover. Verses 29 through 31, the people, by faith, crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab welcomed the spies. By faith is associated with action. And this is the book of faith, those that were faithful. But notice, everything that was done was by what God wanted them to do, and they were active in it. We have another scripture that was mentioned this morning. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith? That's what we've been talking about. But does not have works. Can faith save him? So, our friends say we're into works. It's the grace of God that's got us where we are. You can't do nothing about it. You can't work your way for salvation. But he's asking the question here, James is, can that faith save him if it does not have works? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? What, was not Abraham, my father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? James is recalling what we read a while ago in Hebrews chapter 11. You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith only. And in the same way, was not Ahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Faith is active. Faith is active. It's seen by what you do. So, when you talk to the denominations, you're trying to encourage someone to obey the gospel for the forgiveness of their sins, and they tell you that baptism is not necessary because it's a work. Well, I'm telling you it's not. It's obedience. Same thing that we've read about all of it. We started out a while ago. Those on the day of Pentecost, Saul on his way to persecute Christians, Christ stopped him. It's about doing things. The Ethiopian eunuch, it's obedience to God's word. It's a command. Look at Acts chapter 10, verses 47 through 48. This chapter 10 is talking about a Gentile named Cornelius. He was a good man, but he yet had not obeyed the gospel. He was a real good man, though. God heard his prayers. He sent Peter to him. And there's a lot more to be read here, but these last two verses sake of time. Here's what Peter said. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them. Commanded. There's that word. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. I would say so. They were happy too. But here we have a command by Peter. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was not speaking on his own here. There's things he did on his own that were not right. But here we know when he's preaching the gospel, these things that are recorded for you and me to read, he was speaking through the Spirit. He was speaking God's word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. And we're going to find out about baptism, whose work it is. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. It's God's work. Baptism is God's work. It's not our work. All we do is obey what God says. It's God's work. Wow. Raised him through faith in the powerful working of God. Okay. I come down to Titus. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. And, I've read the Bible a couple of times, different versions. Don't know if I understood it all. A lot of stuff in the Old Testament that kind of bogs you down. But each time you study it, each time you read it, you understand a little bit more. Same with the New Testament, you understand more. But we're going to read this here, these verses 11 through 15. And here we are talking about grace. The thing that people say that we don't appreciate it. Because we're all about doing. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions." Now, that word training, and we're talking about grace. Grace appeared, bringing salvation, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Because he was a young man. Don't let them disregard you because you're a young man. You're preaching God's word. But all these things, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives, and to be zealous for good works, not our good works, but God's works. Ours don't count. And we're going to see that as we read into chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 of Titus. 3, 1 through 8. Remind them to be submissive to rulers. The scriptures tell us about this. And authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work that's according to God. Not things you dream up, but according to God. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy. And I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Again, the good works of God, not anything we imagine or dream up to do. It's God's works. And I ask you, why do we have the entire Bible if we're just dependent on grace? Why are we passing up the Bible? It's there for our learning. It's there for our instruction. We can't pass it up. That verse 21 in Matthew chapter 7, you can't pass it up. It's a warning to us. It's a command. We read that. So it's God's works that we do. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, sounds like we're doing something, y'all. You will keep my commandments. How can we disregard that word? We can't. First John chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So keeping God's commandments is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be obedient. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Just like Mario did today. He overcame the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. So what have we said so far this day about faith? We said that it is active. It is active. Not active in the things we want to do, but in the thing God wants us to do. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul's always asking questions. He's got a lot of question marks after things he says. Because he's wanting you to think. He's wanting these people that's reading this here to think. He wants us to think because we're reading it also. That's why the Bible's been saved. Is so we may know God's will. We may know what he wants us to do. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So what do these verses right here teach? To me, it teaches that if you rely on grace, in other words, that God extended grace. So if you rely on that, is that where you put all your spiritual investments? In grace. And you don't do what God has commanded you to do. That means you're still doing what you want to do. You're still doing things that please you. It's sin. It's sin. By no means that you continue to do things that grace may abound. I think it's been said before that people want to sin so God will forgive them. I think that was a practice back in the day. I think Garen has brought that to our attention before. The more you sin, the more grace you get. That might be what Paul was talking about right here. It ain't so. By no means, Paul says. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. We read these scriptures this morning too. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So I've used these words today already. I've used the words grace. I've used the word saved. I've used the word faith. We know that faith is active. It's shown by what you do. Those in Hebrews chapter 11, those faithful people that were mentioned, by what they did, what they kept. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Whose works? God's works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not ours. God prepared what we are to do. He gave us instruction of what we are to do. And thankfully we have his instructions. Very thankful that we do. If I heard it right, if I can remember how it said, I think I wrote it down right. If I'm not, y'all tell me. Grace was extended to all when God gave his son for our sins. It's extended to everyone. And that's grace. We didn't deserve it. No way did we deserve it. But it was extended to everybody when God gave his son. Mercy is given to those who accept his gift of grace. Who accept his son as that sacrifice. Just as we observed this morning, Mario obeying the gospel. He accepted Jesus, who died for his sins. So, we choose to accept his grace or not. And that's one thing God has given us. He has not made us the pulpit. He has made us a people to have a choice, to make up our minds. We must decide if we want to follow God's commandments, if we want to love him by doing so. So I know that many of you have heard these scriptures. But if you get in a discussion with someone, these things are going to come up. And they're going to say, you think you're saved by works? No, sir, I don't. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'm saved by God's grace. But I accepted his grace. I accepted his grace. So if any this time, if there's any here that want to accept God's grace and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, it can happen again today. There's no limit to who, how many can be saved. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved by obeying the gospel when Peter told them, repent and be baptized. And if you have not been living according to God's will, as Garen well presented this morning, he's seen people come back to the Lord that have wandered away. It's what God wants us to do if we mess up, to come back. We're ready to help anyone at this time. Please come as we stand and sing this song. There's a fountain of greatness for you and me.